And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like, as Mr. Whitney shared with us, to focus upon this gospel account this morning and one of those most precious historical events of Jesus' visible life upon this earth, as he's there cooking breakfast for his disciples on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. Well, a couple weeks ago, boy, there was a lot of excitement, right? A lot of special services going on and other special events, and among many across our land, a lot of traditions went on, the Easter egg hunts and the family dinners and all of those traditional events that happen on Easter Sunday, and it happens once a year, and now it's suddenly over again for another year. At least that's how many perceive Easter. But is really Easter ever over? You know, as God's people, we are blessed to know that the victory has been won and that by God's grace, we are living in this victory every moment of every day, meaning that Easter is a never-ending event in the lives of God's precious people. And so we go on celebrating Christ is risen. Alleluia. Every day, you and I are blessed as God's precious children to have our victorious risen Lord in life with us ongoing. And so today we celebrate, as the gospel leads us to do so, to see and recognize and acknowledge Jesus is in the midst of our everydays, our everyday events of life. Even those things that may seem the most mundane, we know by God's promise that Jesus is in the midst of our lives, even on what may seem like the worst of days, the very bad days that we go through in life on this earth. Do you ever have those bad days? Well, you know, in reality, a definition for a bad day for us as God's people is when we fail to realize and appreciate the victory won. I mean, if we really believe what Christ has accomplished for us, to know that he has conquered death, and as a result, to know that death can no longer harm, let alone destroy us, to know that when we die physically, we simply transition spiritually and life from earth into life in glory, boy, however bad the day may seem, it's a really good day, right? And so a really bad day is when we fail to realize and appreciate that. When we fail to recognize that the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, who died, and who rose again, is present among us. He's right here in worship with us this morning, but when we leave these sanctuary doors and go outside and head to our daily lives, nothing changes. The Lord remains with us, not just for a moment, but as Jesus promises, I am with you always. Not some of the time, not most of the time, but Jesus says, always. And yes, even in those seemingly very bad days. And you know, the Lord doesn't leave you and me, doesn't depart from us when we're having the bad day, when our attitude may be horrible. God's heart and his compassion, his love is so big for us that he stays with us in the midst of our bad days. And he wants to change our hearts ongoing. That's the compassion that he has for us. But the question this morning, and one that only you can ask yourself and be honest and know your own heart's answer as I do, is that, do you recognize Jesus' presence with you always? And be serious as you think about that question. It's like, oh, Pastor, yeah, we all know that. We know the Lord's with us always. Really, do you believe that? Always. Well, praise God that we are never alone. Praise God that we live in the victory. Praise God that we can continue to celebrate Easter as we do, even in the church season, as this is the third Sunday of Easter. Easter hasn't left, nor will it ever. And so we remain here and blessed to worship and to celebrate. And we celebrate Jesus in the midst of our everydays. And think about the everyday event here on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. I mean, this is just an incredible account. Remember the women that went to the tomb? The Lord revealed himself to them. They were all excited. They ran to the disciples and said that the Lord was alive. And then they also, as Jesus had instructed them, they told the disciples that Jesus wanted them to go into Galilee and to wait for him there. And so we find that these disciples were faithful in doing that. So here they are in Galilee, they're at the shores of the Sea of Galilee, they're fishermen, and they're kind of waiting around, and it's like, well, what do? Our everyday life is fishing, so let's just go out and fish like we were doing. And so they get in a boat, they go out, they fish all night, they catch nothing. Does this sound familiar to an earlier account in Jesus' ministry? Remember when he called them to be his disciples? Same thing, out all night, didn't catch any fish. And then this guy shows up on the shoreline. Now we hear they're 100 yards out, so that's quite a ways out. It'd be hard to recognize specifically who might be walking on the shore, but he calls out, "Have you any fish?" And they say, "No." And then he says, "Well, cast your nets on the right side of the boat." And you know they had to be thinking, "We've heard this before." And so they throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and they catch this horrendous catch of fish, so many that they can't even hardly drag it in. And how many fish? Trivia? What? I've always wondered about that number. Why did God see that we needed to know 153? I don't know. If somebody does, please let me know. But it's interesting. I love the detail of the scriptures. And so anyway, then John, he recognizes right away it's the Lord. Peter does too. And Peter puts on his outer garment, and he can't wait for the boat to go to shore. He's so excited to see Jesus, he jumps in. Must have been a pretty good swimmer, right? 100 yards out, jumps in the water and swims to shore, and the other disciples come in the boat. Now, think about these pesky disciples. They're kind of like you and me, right? They're not exactly perfect, lovable people. In fact, not many days ago, Thomas doubted his Lord. Remember, the other disciples had seen Jesus on that first Easter evening. He appeared to them, and Thomas wasn't there. And they were all excited. They told Thomas, and what did Thomas say? "I will not believe it unless I can stick my fingers in the wounds of Jesus' hands and my hand in the wound in his side." And Jesus says, okay, next week. Meets up with them again. Thomas is there, invites Thomas to do what he demanded. And Thomas says that great confession, "My Lord and my God." But he doubted. And of course, Peter denying his Lord three times. And of course, James and John in the debate about who's going to sit at the right and the left of Jesus, and even demanding that they have those positions with him in his kingdom. And yet, Jesus forgives all that, and he comes out of love on this precious day to be with them on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And boy, does Jesus change things. Remember the first time when this happened, when Jesus was calling them? Peter was in the boat with Jesus, and when the miracle happened, he knew it was the Lord. And Peter says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He was terrified because in his sin, he knew he was in the presence of the holy God, and he was just pleading with God to depart because of his sin. But not this time. Things have drastically changed. Even after denying his Lord three times, Peter knew God's love for him. And he dives into the water and he swims to shore. And the Lord welcomes him and all the other disciples. And then what does Jesus do? What he does so well, he continues to serve. He serves as their host. Don't you love it? I mean, right here in Scripture, it looks like it could be on a commercial, you know, on TV. Come and have breakfast. And Jesus got the fish on. He's got the coals burning. He's got the fish going. He's baking the bread. And he welcomes them to have breakfast with him. What a host. Talk about Jesus in the midst of an everyday type of situation. But do you think it's any different for you and me? The very same Jesus Christ who gives the very same promises not only to those disciples, but to his church of all time, including all of us here. And what a wonderful life we are blessed to live with Jesus in the midst of our lives. And especially in our own history of sin and rebellion. Who of us in this room can say that we've never doubted, that we've never denied, that we have never demanded things of God, and yet the Lord continues to love us unconditionally, and his promises continue to resound in our hearts and minds from his inerrant, trustworthy word that stands forever. For instance, Isaiah 43, God says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And then look at that, remembers your sins no more. Think about that. The Almighty God who judges all things, he says, I've forgotten your sin. I don't remember your sin. When God forgives, it is genuine. And it all was made possible by Jesus, the Son of God, going through that suffering and death on the cross. And Jesus proclaimed those glorious words, didn't he? It is finished. In the Greek, literally, it is completed for all time. Nothing can be done to change this. God's forgiveness is firmly in place, and we see it with Saul. What an account. And that was a longer reading this morning, but we needed to hear that. We don't always hear that in worship about Saul's conversion. But imagine another just everyday life event for a Pharisee, Saul going to Damascus, wanting to round up Christians, throw them into prison. And he changes totally in the presence of Jesus on that journey, as we heard it, the bright light, the voice, and through the whole process in a short while, this man that was seeking out Christians to throw him into prison is now becoming one of the greatest missionaries ever to walk on the face of the earth. Saul becomes the great apostle Paul. And notice, immediately, we heard in that text, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue saying, he is the Son of God. That's how powerful the presence of the Lord is in the midst of people's lives. And we have been changed as well forever. And the Lord continues to serve us. If you think that's cool, having breakfast with Jesus on the shore and he's cooking the meal, well, every other Sunday and sometimes every Sunday, the Lord is serving us at his table, isn't he? His very body and blood in with and under the bread and wine. Jesus offering himself in the meal that he has established to us. Late service today, Michael is going to be baptized. And what an exciting event that's going to be. And in baptism, what does the Lord say? But I have called you by name. You are mine. And so the Lord is serving to us his forgiveness. He is hosting to us his love. And most of all, his precious word. My sheep listen to my voice. We are blessed to know the voice of God, the voice of Jesus. Every time we open the Bible, we hear God's voice speaking to us. He is always in the midst of our lives, our every days. And think about that in your life journey. Think about those precious times when it was very evident that Jesus showed up in your everyday life events. And you know, the list can go on and on, and in the notes in your bulletin, I've just put in some ideas about that. But it's really awesome in conversation when Lindy and I travel, and we just love to visit with people we've never met before. And boy, when the Lord comes up in the conversation, it's just like we're instantly bonded. We're family. And it's so exciting. Instantly being strangers is gone. And why is that? Because Jesus is right there in the midst of the conversation. At work, how often does Jesus come up at work? You know, and even workplaces say, oh no, you can't really share your faith with somebody else. Maybe in the lunchroom. Well, if it's the lunchroom, the Lord is there and conversation takes place. Isn't it amazing how Jesus keeps showing up in the major movie theaters with all of these awesome Christian movies that have come out, and even some that weren't even really from a biblical base, and yet in them, unbeknownst to the producers, Jesus is very evident in the movie. How about in sports? How often do we hear about Jesus' presence among athletes and the testimonies that they give? In disasters, wow. You know, I met Captain Al Haynes, who was the captain of the United DC-10 flight many, many years ago, the jumbo jet that crashed in Sioux City. Remember that? And I was in a room with him and able to visit with him. And boy, talk about Jesus' presence as this man gave his testimony of literally 10 to 20 events that stacked up perfectly. And people would say, oh, what a coincidence, over and over and over again. And he said, you know, this is a God thing. God saved us. And yeah, there were several people killed, but after that, the pilots and simulators, the best of the best, could not save the airplane. Fell out of the sky at several thousand feet above the ground. They at least were able to get it on the ground. And he acknowledged that that was far above their capability. The Lord continues to show up in all kinds of different everyday events. I want you to think about that as I do, as we continue our journey. And especially if you think you're having a really bad day, well, think about what may be the source of that really bad day. Failing to realize and to acknowledge the victory won and the presence of your Lord Jesus Christ with you, who is all-powerful and almighty, and one day we are going to see him with our own eyes in glory in heaven. And we, along with the church in heaven, we're going to be able to praise him, saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. What a celebration! Christ is risen. Alleluia. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who always is in the midst of our everydays. Amen. And at this time, I would invite the congregation to stand as we make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And would you confess with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.